To the Accessibility Advisory Committee meeting today on Tuesday, September 2nd, 2025. Welcome back from the summer break. I hope you had, everyone had a good break and you're all ready for the hard work going forward now. I just want to state that as you just heard, this meeting is being recorded and the meeting audio will be placed on our website, which is wmata.com. I would like to share a few helpful tips. People who are joining through phone calls, you can press star 6 to mute or unmute yourself. And if you'd like to make comments, you can virtually raise or lower hands by pressing star 9. Everybody who's on the video conference, you can click on the speaker icon to mute or unmute yourself. And if you'd like to make comments, you can virtually raise or hands by clicking on the raise hand icon. We do request everyone to please stay on mute unless speaking, because it helps eliminate any external noise. And just a reminder that we do have two American Sign Language interpreters with us on this meeting. Therefore, when speaking, please state your name before you start making your comments, because it helps the interpreters in doing their job well. It also helps everyone who's on the phone calls. And when people listen to the audio, it's helpful for them as well. Just a quick reminder that when people speak, please describe yourselves briefly, initially. For instance, I'm a female, I'm Asian Indian, I wear reading glasses, and I'm wearing a pink multicolored top today. We do have presenters today, and I will just remind them to please describe your presentation in detail, and that's for the convenience of our members who are blind or have low vision. As you know, that this meeting is open to the public, so we just want to make sure that the presentation is accessible for everyone, and I thank you in advance for that. Chair Sheehan, if you concur, I can go ahead and read the agenda out loud and then go to the AAC roll call.
That would be perfect. Thanks.
Great. So before I do that, I will share my screen. And if you would give me a quick moment before I start sharing my screen. if somebody can confirm.
I see.
Thank you so much. All right. So moving along, just like I said, after I finish reading the agenda, we'll go through the roll call of the committee members. Chair Sheehan and the committee will go through the review and approval of today's meeting. Last meeting minutes and the board report. We will have Jamie Johnson to do a meet and greet session with us. He is the Executive Vice President and Chief Safety and Readiness Officer. Afterwards, we will have Jamie Rosen and Bonnie Sullivan to talk about priority seating decals pilot for Metrorail. And Patrick Sheehan, AAC Chair, will discuss and give an update about DMV moves. He will talk about the Hettinger Award 2025, AAC membership and elections. Next topic will be public comments. And then we will take bus and rail subcommittee report, followed by the Metro Access subcommittee report. The meeting is scheduled to adjourn at 7:30 p.m. I will stop sharing my screen now. Now that we are going to the roll call, when I call out your name, please confirm your presence. Susan Burmaster. Darnese Bush. Timo Kala.
Present.
Thank you. Vanessa Coles. Rico Dancy.
Here. Present.
Thank you. Thank you. Taran Farmer. Deb.
Here.
Thank you. Marcy Goldstein. Marcy has actually informed that she may be delayed in joining the meeting today. Steve Kaplan?
He's here.
We heard him.
Oh, present. Sorry about that. Pushed the wrong button. Present.
Thank you. Thomas Mangrum? Swetha Nandakumar? Philippa Bazaar? Sandy Nuzo?
I'm present.
Thank you. Phil Posner?
I have exceeded the use-by date, but I am present.
Thank you. Good to see you. Sarah Ron?
I am here. I just, as a side note, Anu, you sound, your sound is a little funky. I can understand you most of the time, but it's not as clear as it usually is.
Okay, thank you for...
It's slightly distorted and new. Distorted. It sounds as if like you're real close to the mic, but we can see that you're not, but it's a little distorted.
Okay, thank you for informing me. I'll welcome it as soon as I finish the roster. Thank you. Doris Ray? Denise Rush? Paul Somerville?
Present.
Thank you. Patrick Sheehan?
Here.
Thank you. And Philip Weintraub? Okay, Chair Sheehan, that concludes the roster for today's meeting. At this point, I would ask for you to move the meeting forward. You have the floor.
Good. Thank you, Anu. I appreciate it. Good evening, everybody. Let's go through the agenda, board report, and the minutes. Do I have any additions or corrections to the book, to the agenda?
No, this is Paul Somerville. I make a motion to move the agenda as is.
Thank you, Paul. Second on that?
Second.
Okay. Are there any negative votes? Hearing none, the agenda is approved. Let's go to the minutes. Are there any additions or corrections to the minutes?
If there is none, I make the motion that we go ahead and approve the minutes as is.
Very good. Do I have a second on that?
Rico seconds it.
Thank you, Rico. Appreciate that. Are there any no votes to the minutes? Hearing none, the minutes are approved. Cool. We good? Okay. Next, I'll go to the board report. Can I have a motion to approve the board report?
This is Paul Somerville. So moved.
Can I have a second?
Rico seconding.
Thank you, Rico. Appreciate that. Paul, would you like to make your usual recommendation concerning the board report?
This is subject to anything that may come out through the AAC meeting tonight that we be flexible and open to amend it as needed.
Very good. Thank you, Paul. Appreciate that. Are there any no votes to approving the board report?
With my friendly amendment.
With you, I'm sorry, Paul. Thank you for that. Yeah, very good, Robert's rules here. With that, Paul, amended motion. Thank you, Paul. Hearing no negative votes, the board report is approved as amended. Thank you. Possibly amended. So next on the agenda is Jamie Johnson. I know you've been before us before, Jamie. Chief Executive Officer, Safety and Readiness Chief at WMATA. Thank you, sir. I appreciate you coming before us. I'd love to hear how we can be serving you and what you have to say to us tonight. Thank you for coming.
That's great, Chair. Thank you very much indeed. Can you hear me?
Sure can. Thanks.
Yeah, well, I appreciate your introduction, but it's very much the reverse. So the point here is how I can, on behalf of Maggie and the team, serve you better as we're moving forward. So the reason I'm here is Teresa Impastato, who led the safety and readiness team for a good number of years, has now moved to chief infrastructure officer As Andy Off, who was Chief Infrastructure Officer, is now the Deputy General Manager. So the theory behind that is that the General Manager wants to step away from direct or the temptation for direct involvement in the running of the organization as he focuses on things that he's really good at, which is, the politics, the financial arrangements for the organization, securing in the short and the long term, as well as our relationships with our politicians, with the community, with our funders. Really, he's recognized that Metro is a relatively big organization, and he needs time to focus on that while allowing Andy Off to manage me, safety and readiness, infrastructure, Teresa, and then Leroy Jones and the police chief, as we are the sort of the key four individuals running the organization on the general manager's behalf. That isn't to say that Randy is not fully engaged. He is. But that's the reason why I'm here. The second thing I wanted to explain is just a little bit about me and my background. I have enjoyed 8 years in transportation, first as the Chief Operating Officer's leader of strategic initiatives, which was very much about fixing the organization 8 years ago. And then I moved into the control center, which I learned a lot about the day-to-day operation on the rail side and the bus side, in fact. And then I moved into safety. And then I'm here over safety and readiness, which is accessibility, system-wide accessibility, training. So that's a big part of my role, as well as safety, quality, and occupational health and wellness. So that's where I sit in the organization. And but before that, I was 10 years as a police officer in the Metropolitan Police in London. And this is really where I got my passion for assisting those who need access to services, need access to public services, and specifically as a safety, as a specialist in investigating sexual offences. I had to work with a number of individuals, all with very different needs, but often vulnerable. And that's really where I learned about the challenges that many people in society face, and the duty, really, of people like myself who are paid to do it, to ensure that people have access and support they need. My mum was a doctor, and in fact, an OBGYN, and this sort of passion and this interest that goes back a long way in my family and in me, I'm really, really excited to work with Maggie, Anu, and the team on this topic. However, I need, direction and advice from you all in order to be effective. And the message I want to say is that the more collaboration we can elicit from you, the better we are going to be. And I hope the more rewarding and exciting it will be for you to be part of this group. Ultimately, we're not around for long, all of us, and I want this to be as engaging and as enjoyable an experience for you all as possible. And the way to do that is to actually listen and to make progress and see impact. And that's something that I know Maggie is extremely passionate about as the VP. So we have got a commitment to you all to build on what Anu and others and yourselves have built here, which is an extremely effective way of engaging and gathering feedback and getting advice and being told when we're wrong or being told when we're right. But we want to get better and better at this. And so there are great examples like Potomac Yard, where the engagement was fantastic. We had a fixed structure to build together and to get right. And the engagement was fantastic. The amount of information exchanged, the number of visits conducted, I saw members of your group out there in the field telling us what we need to get right. And I want to recreate that kind of atmosphere on the day to day. And you're already doing a lot of it, but I recognize the opportunity to do it even more and to an even higher level. So thank you very much for giving me some of your time. I just wanted to give you a flavor of me and, where I come from, why I'm here, but also what Maggie and I and the team are trying to do here on the system-wide accessibility front and with this committee, this group specifically. So with that, I'll hand it back to the chair. I'm very willing to take a couple of questions, but I recognize you have an agenda.
Oh, that's fine. Maybe we'll take two questions if there are any. Thank you, Jamie, for working with us. We will certainly work through Maggie as our frontline person to give our thoughts to and have her communicate to you and anything you need from us, of course. We're just phone calls away. That's great.
Thank
Any
you, Pat.
thank you. Any questions for Jamie?
Raise your hand. This is on Tino Calabria has his hand up.
Okay, Tina, go ahead, sir.
Yeah, Jamie, you mentioned you worked in London. Did you work at all with Andy Byford, the terrific? He's international in his scope. He was a model GM for public transit. Did you work with him at all?
No, I haven't. He is someone who I've come across and crossed paths with, because he is a fantastic operator. Currently, I think he's still at Amtrak. I know lots of changes are going on there, but took a sort of a lower level role than the chief executive role at Amtrak. But he's done huge amounts, whether it be, in the UK, in Canada, no, he's someone who's extremely impressive, and I'm afraid you're getting nowhere near that quality of operator with me.
Okay, thank
Very
you.
good. Thank you. Anybody else on him?
Chair, she hand, this is anyone. I do not see any additional hands up at this point.
Okay. Well, let's go on to our next presentation, and if we can.
Thank you.
We thank you. Thank you, Jamie. Thank you for coming. We
Okay.
so we have our next presentation will be on priority seating decals for Metro Rail. Jamie Rosen and Bonnie Sullivan. This is an item that popped up on our agenda, so thank you for coming.
Great, thank you, Pat. I'm Bonnie Sullivan. Anu, will you be sharing our slides or should I show them from my screen?
Preference.
Okay, I can show them then. Let me
Yeah.
just get them. One second. I don't actually believe I. Oh, wait, sorry.
You should be able to share, Bonnie.
Yes.
There we go.
Great. So, thank you all. I am Bonnie Sullivan, like I said. I am a white woman wearing a black shirt. And I am joined here by my colleague, Jamie Rosen, who is the acting director of special projects on our customer experience and transformation team. And I'm also sending a hello from our chief customer officer, Sarah Meyer, who is sad that she cannot be with us tonight. She says she misses y'all, but it is her daughter's first day of school, so she will not be able to join us tonight. But I am representing the team to talk to y'all about this priority seating decals pilot we are doing on Metro Rail. So to get started, our motivation for this project is to remind customers to consider who might need to use priority seating. So on this slide, we have three pictures of examples of priority seating decals from around the world. So the left is a decal, a round decal that's on the floor of a vehicle in London. And it says, "Look up, give the seat to anyone who needs it more." And it also says priority seat. The middle picture is of a decal on a seat in New York City, and it says priority seating for persons with disabilities. And then the decal on the right is from a bus in Boston, and it is on the window of a vehicle, and it says priority seating area. Please vacate these seats for people with disabilities, seniors, pregnant women, and adults carrying children. It also then has that message written in Braille. And below it, it has five icons that depict people who might need priority seating. The first three are of people that have mobility devices, and then we have an icon of a pregnant person and an icon of a person holding a child. So across just these three examples, and there are many more around the world, we can see the priority seating labels vary widely, but we really liked the idea of using these icons, like in the example on the far right, of showing what types of people might need priority seating and reminding both the people who need priority seating that it's okay to ask for it, and letting people who might have just sat, you know, without thinking in priority seating, that others might need that seat more, and to provide some examples of what those people might be. So moving on to the next slide. So this slide is about our pilot project that we're doing. So on the right, we have the two decals that we will be using for this pilot. So both of them are 12-inch round decals, mainly with a gray background and blue text on top. And both decals also have writing that faces inwards to people that are sitting in the priority seating and outwards to customers who are in the rest of the train car. So the decal on the left says priority seating on the side that's outward facing, and then on the side that's inward facing to people already in the priority seats, it says, heads up, please offer this seat to anyone who needs it. Not all disabilities are visible. The second decal on the side that faces outward into the train car says, need a seat, it's okay to ask. And on the side facing inwards towards the seat, it says, this priority seating is reserved for, and then it has four icons. The first of those icons depict a person with a mobility device. The second icon depicts a person with an invisible disability or illness. The third icon depicts a pregnant person. And the fourth icon depicts a person holding a child. So the goal of this project is to reinforce the priority seating area and remind customers that it's okay to ask for a seat. It also provides examples through the icons of who might need priority seating. And the goal of this project in piloting it is to collect feedback while in the pilot phase and then be able to evaluate the pilot for further expansion across the system. So the details of this pilot. So on the right, we have a picture of how the decals would look in front of the priority seating. So it's a picture of the priority seating on a rail car with the two round decals on the floor of the rail car right in front of the priority seating. So again, the idea is that those who are sitting in the seat are reminded that they're in priority seating and who might need that seating. And then those who are not yet in priority seating have more understanding that that's where the priority seating is and feel more comfortable asking for those seats if they're occupied and they need them. So the scope of this pilot is that it will run for 3 months. We are planning to install these decals on 240 rail cars, which is 20% of the entire rail fleet, and we would only be installing them on 7,000 series trains. The decals will have a QR code next to them that will access a survey that people can then provide their feedback to with using the decals, either being a person that asks for a seat or a person who might be sitting in the seat. As far as AAC coordination, we're here with you all today just to let you know that this is our plan moving forward. And then we will be back at the end of the pilot to share what we've learned and collect any other feedback that we did not get through our QR code. And our plan is to launch this soon in the fall of 2025, although we're waiting to work out some of the specifics for the materials that we would need to use this decal. So thank you all for your time and attention to this. And I'm excited to join y'all again soon to talk about how this went. And if you see this out while you are using the system, please feel free to take our survey and let us know how it seems to be going. Thank you.
Question.
Yes.
Can I speak? Ooh.
Hang on, Tina. Avani?
Yes.
Can we take some questions?
Yeah, I think we can take. Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead, Tina. I have one too, Bonnie, when we're free. Go ahead, yeah. Tina.
Yes, Bonnie, I didn't know that you would be speaking on the subject, but by coincidence, during the summer, I sent out a picture of a system that shows a red button near the decal about disabilities. you know, the trains are open and closed automatically. But in Seattle, people who have a disability and others may press a red button and ask for a few minutes, or a little longer, maybe not minutes, but some more seconds to keep the door open so that they could exit. this is important because of the automatic nature of our opening and closing of doors, but people in wheelchairs and others may need more minutes to exit. Is there any thought to making that possible in WMATA's trains?
Yeah, I can only speak to this specific pilot as we are looking for things that are, you know, we're specifically focused on the floor decals for this. So that would be outside our current scope, but I can definitely note it for any future work that is done.
One last question. Well, the second question would be, again, by chance, I did not know you were coming on talking about decals, but very recently I shared with the committee and staff the fact that Kelly Simino, who I think just recently retired from the committee, but anyway, several years back when we were preparing suggestions for the 8000 series, she recommended that we can have you consider a decal, slightly modifying the existing universal decal for people with disabilities. She recommends that in effect shows the person in the wheelchair in a more dynamic situation, as if they were actually moving rather than just sitting still like a statue. I don't know if Anu has had a chance to share that with you, but that was Kelly's situation. We included it in our recommendations for the 8000 series when it was published in 2020. If you haven't seen it, we'll send it to you. But what's the chance of modifying that decal?
Yeah, again, the scope of this project is only the floor decals that we're planning on piloting. So I'll double check that the team has that information for other future decals. For our icons, we used a universal icon library to find the most consistent kind of international standards for icons. So we feel pretty confident, and we reviewed them with Maggie before this meeting, the icons that we've chosen for our decal. And I'll be sure the team, relevant other teams, know about any other decal
feedback. Yeah, Anu, could you share Kelly's, the email I sent out this summer regarding Kelly's modification?
So we can do that. Okay. I hope my voice is a little bit clear now. Next person, actually, Chair Sheehan, we have a few members with their hands up.
Okay, let's take them, and I'll end up with the last question, maybe.
Okay.
Thank you.
Next person is Phil Posner, followed by Steve Caffin, and then Philip Weintraub, and I will go through the list afterwards. So, Dr. Posner, go ahead.
My hand is down.
Okay. Thank you. Steve, go ahead. Steve, unmute yourself. Okay, I'm not sure if Steve is having any trouble.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can.
Steve. Yeah.
Okay, I'm very sorry. I have had some issues with these decals, and so I'm very glad that we're having this conversation. You know, with respect to what's been presented, I don't know anyone who looks down for information. And in fact, I'm afraid that some of the people who are going to be sitting at the seats with that information will have their feet over the suggested actions. And I realize it's a test. I don't understand it. I just have to be blunt. I don't understand why we're putting something on the ground when it's the exception individual that's looking down when they enter the train. That's my first comment. The second is the phrasing that's used. And I forget the long phrasing which is used on both the rail and the bus. Is a the phrasing it's a bit confusing. We use a phrasing that I haven't seen anywhere else. It's quite long, but could perhaps you read it to me? We talked about the statute as opposed to asking people to be human. And I've never seen in my 20 plus years of living in the city somebody saying, "Excuse me, sir, would you please recognize that there's a statute?" But I have seen it when people are just human. And so I like the phrasing of those in need or seniors and disabilities as opposed to trying to quote a statute. And so that's good. But there's a phrase, make available versus should be available. And I think we use something like should be available. People don't know whether they can sit in that seat or not. I think the key words is make available. And so would you just make sure that phrasing works? Because I've seen confusion on the rails and the buses by people who where the cars are full, but they're hesitant to sit there because of the phrasing. The third thing, and this is something I've talked about before, it relates to the buses. That third example has been erroneously placed on a good number of buses on the first front forward seats. It's a large sign and it completely blocks the window, which is a safety issue for people who want to look out to see if there's a safety issue before exiting. And also to the seniors who are one of the few people who sit there and like to look out the window. In most every bus system, I've seen that raised higher up at the level of people entering the system who are standing, as opposed to blocking the seating window. I just want to raise that. So, I'm glad we're having a pilot. I question whether putting something on the floor is going to inhibit the action that you'd like to have. So thank you.
Hi, can you all hear me now? I've been having some problems with muting. This is Jamie Rosen speaking. So I appreciate your feedback. In terms of the look up, the idea was actually that what happens now a lot of time is their heads are buried in their phones, and so they are looking down. And so that's sort of why this is targeting that, because if you put it on the back of the seat, they've already sat down. If it's on the wall, they're not looking there. So what's the other space you have to put it on the floor when they're looking at their feet? So that's sort of the idea behind this, and like the idea that the look up is kind of fun and catchy and kind of encouraging people to look up and be more aware of their surroundings. I think you bring a really good point about the phrasing, so we'll definitely take a look at that. And then in terms of the bus stuff, again, this is actually focused on rail, but we can, for future projects regarding rail decals, we can definitely incorporate that consideration about the placement. So yeah, we can look at that for future projects.
Thank you, Jamie.
Thank you. Thanks, Bonnie.
Thank you, Steve. Next is Philip Weintraub, followed by Sarah Rod, and then Chair Sheehan.
Oh, I'm good. I'll be good. My question got answered. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Philip, go ahead.
First of all, I understand Tina was talking about like some red button in Seattle, but I've seen like, and I remember in Madrid, they have it like a red, but actually a red lever on both outside and inside, so we could, because people also have, realtors have more time entering as well as exiting. But also, my second one is about the decals. That it not only needed to be where people could be able to read it, but also need to have like also not only just in writing, but also in Braille, because what about somebody blind? How are they going to be able to read it?
Yeah, so the idea with the priority seating decals on the floor is that they'll be in addition to the existing priority seating signage that exists. So I'm sure Maggie or Anu could speak more to the requirements there and what's present there. But we want to give, again, we're not in the position to reform or change any of the existing signage that exists. We're just trying to provide another opportunity for signage in that floor area that we're not really utilizing yet. So understand your point about it not being accessible to those with low vision or who are blind, but hoping that, increasing awareness for others is still valuable given that there is existing signage in place. And Maggie just said in the chat that we can review how to improve current signage. So hopefully that speaks to that.
Thank you, Phil.
Thank you, Philip. Sarah, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to say I really appreciate that you included an icon of a person with an invisible disability, and that you're sort of expanding the different icons there. I think it's really helpful to be more inclusive. I think what I saw in the photo was that the traditional sign that's behind those seats still has the universal wheelchair icon. And I wonder if that might be changed over time too, because it's actually kind of confusing. Because if you were actually in a wheelchair, that is not where you would sit because there's a seat in the way. And it might make more sense to have a big floor sticker where the wheelchair is actually supposed to go, and change that current signage to something with a few more of those icons on there that were showing a bit more. Different sorts of situations. Do we have any floor stickers where the wheelchairs are supposed to be? I do know there have been times when I have gotten on with a passenger in a wheelchair, and there's people standing where the wheelchair is supposed to go, and they don't move.
Thank you, Sarah. And yes, we are excited to include that icon for invisible disabilities at Maggie's advice, because we do think that's an important underlooked part of priority seating currently. I'll be sure, like I mentioned earlier, to follow up with her about any changes that might be needed to existing signage, as again, the scope of this is just those priority seating decals. I don't believe that there are any other floor decals on rail cars, so I don't believe that there is, like you mentioned, those four wheelchairs currently, but again, can note that down for any future projects.
Oh, I'm sorry. One more small note. I wanted to
Yes.
second Tino's comment about the active wheelchair user. That is, that icon is becoming more and more common all over the place. You're starting to see it on like parking signs and things. It's starting to replace the more staid old version of it. So it should be out there.
Got it. Good to know. Thank you.
Chair Sheehan, this is Anu. I do not see any additional hands up at this point. Well, you may, Chair Sheehan. There we
I'm
go.
sorry.
No
Oh,
worries.
I don't know how that got turned back on. Thank you very much, Bonnie and Jamie. After this pilot is over, if you could come back and give us the results, that would be great. I assume that you have some su success criteria for that you're looking at as far as this pilot is concerned.
Yeah, we're still developing the survey that we're going to have that's the
Okay.
QR code's going to link to. But there have been other pilots done and kind of similar things that we'll be looking to for advice there.
Excellent. As soon as you're ready, we'd love to have you back.
Yeah, thank you all so
Good.
much for the time today.
Thank
We
you.
really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So I knew it looks like I'm up next, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, the DMV moves and then.
Okay, hang on.
Yes.
I'm hoping that Tino has hard questions for me. Okay, so we are actually getting to a point in the DMV moves process where we're coming down to the sort of the end, though, Tino. I've also heard we will probably extend past September, but I don't know how much, I don't know how much longer, you know, the entire committee will go. Hang on a second. So the, I think the, in general, what we're looking at here is a state of, oh, hang on a second, my notes are... So what we're looking at basically with DMV moves in general is keeping everything in a state of good repair. That really rings through for both Metro Rail and Metro Bus. And that's kind of the theme that they're striving towards. As we know, we've had some issues in the past about the state of repair and where it is and things that need to be changed out. They have spent an awful lot of time and energy talking about rail automation. And we know that we have all six lines that are fully automated right now. And I know that there have been a few issues with overruns, but in general, we have not seen really many problems with train automation. One of the areas that that they are really excited about, and this is from the task force at the task force level, is what rail automation can give us basically as far as improving efficiency, improving on-time performance, allowing to move trains more efficiently, more effectively, thereby saving money and reinvesting that money back into the system. They understand that there is going to be, you know, capacity on the trains, particularly in Virginia and Roslyn. And so they realize that they need to implement this. And this is nothing that, you know, this is nothing new, really, as far as rail is concerned. It's being done all over the world. But in the case of WMATA, of course, we have an older system. We've talked about the signals that need to be replaced, and they're back from the 1970s. That is one of the projects that need to be replaced. But the train automation has just been and really, really key for them. As I said earlier, it increases rail capacity, which is something they want to be able to do. And when they have measured this and when they have studied different systems out there, particularly those in Europe, they say it can increase cost efficiency by 20 or 30%, which I thought was pretty amazing. But I guess that's what they're seeing, particularly in Europe, as they look at these other systems that are out there. Particularly in Paris, the increase with automation is about 30% in cost savings. They are finding that the trains during automation can keep a better schedule, and that's great. One of the things that I thought was telling was, I didn't realize this, but if you have, when you're buying rail cars, they basically will cost about $3 million per car. And with an 8-car train, you have $24 million. And with the automation, as they're seeing it through the system, it's going to take 5 trains out of service every day, but just because of the efficiencies, maintaining the same service level because of the efficiencies. And that's going to be what, $120 million that's being saved. All of that over time is going to be reinvested back into the system. And you're not even talking about the other, things that go on as far as train maintenance, as far as train efficiency as it turns around. So they're saying that all of this money that we're seeing with automation is going to be something that's going to be reinvested back into the system, and that's going to bring the cost of running the system down over time. The second area, so automation, and that's fairly easy for WMATA, for the task force, because the trains being run by WMATA, tracks are managed by WMATA, so it's kind of a closed system, even though there's an awful lot of work to do, particularly when you get into updating the signal, train signalization on the tracks and all of that. The second area that they have stressed is a little more complex in another way: bus prioritization. And bus prioritization is they've looked at how the buses are used throughout the system, where they're used, and where the high frequency lane bus lanes are going to be. And they understand that bus prioritization is really the next area that they need to stress. And it's going to be one of the harder areas to take a look at, because you've got jurisdictions that are running their own bus systems. You've got areas that the buses are not, routes are not well coordinated. Now, they have made some improvements with respect to better bus network, which is part of the bus prioritization effort. The signage and everything like that that's going to help us out as far as the buses are concerned. What they're looking to do is to, under bus prioritization, is to increase bus efficiency and performance. They are looking at bus rapid transit, as I said earlier, and better bus network as two parts of the bus prioritization plan. They are going to be working towards putting a more detailed plan out by, I think, December of this year. So that should give us a little bit more to take a look at. The bus rapid transit area is one in which they've got about, I think, 20 or 30 lines that they want to put out there and look at how they can increase the buses, particularly as they're going from jurisdiction to jurisdiction, or Virginia to DC, or DC to Maryland, and how they can improve that. One of the problems with that, of course, is that if you're going to give dedicated lanes to buses, where are you going to get those lanes? And so you may find that traffic for regular cars going in and out of DC or whatever are going to have less lanes. So that's something that they need to look at. They need to look at what the local jurisdictions are doing with the bus rapid transit, how it's being done, what are the regulations and laws in the different states and localities, and coordinate all of that. All of that's going to be much more time consuming than working on some of these other issues, particularly with train automation. That went fairly quickly. I know that there are six working groups, six committees, and one of the committees is dealing with bus prioritization. So I'm hoping, if they allow more members to come on that committee, the members of this committee will be able to come onto that committee and work on bus prioritization going forward. They really want to treat bus prioritization and give it the same emphasis as they have done with rail. And so making the bus as efficient as they can as rail, I think, is going to be critical. Hang on. Right now, with the traffic congestion that they're seeing in Washington, D.C., it was noted that that WMATA is paying an extra $70 million to have the same service that they had before with the increased traffic. So they really want to be able to cut down the numbers, improve efficiency, and keep the buses moving. There are too many times when buses are just stuck in traffic, and that's just not an effective way to run the bus system. The last thing with respect to bus prioritization is that the task force did to agree to establish a bus prioritization fund that would be funded regionally and then used to establish priorities for the bus prioritization network going forward. So I think that right now is the big takeaway from the bus prioritization piece. And Tino, your favorite section on the funding side. There's not a dedicated plan yet for funding going forward. I'm not an expert on all of what has gone on with respect to funding, but I know that WMATA's borrowing capability on its current bonds will be over basically in FY28. And so they have proposed a regional levy, I guess you would call it, from Maryland, DC, and Virginia. Between $500 million and $600 million a year, which each of this states, DC, Virginia, Maryland, would put into a pot, which they have not decided who's going to run it, but it will be indexed to inflation, which is different than what they had back in 2018. They talked to the task force members. They really took the votes with respect to the two plans that they wanted to go forward with that. And one was you either have a 1% sales tax, or you have a dedicated amount of money that each state would have to come up with, and each state would come up with that money based on how they fund transportation within the state. And it was pretty evident that they wanted that they weren't in favor of the sales tax. They didn't think the sales tax was a good idea. Several of the members that did like the sales tax thought it was a good idea because regionally, it spoke to a regional sales tax as opposed to what goes on in Maryland, Virginia, and DC. And they think that that could be problematic because, you've got new people coming in. They've got different priorities. Who knows what the legislature and the different areas will do? But they seem to go with leaving the jurisdictions and states to develop their own funding source. They would have a bill that they would pay every year. They still need to figure out who would own that, with the money coming in. But that would be the dedicated funding source of $500 to $600 million each year. Now, that $500 to $600 million would also cover the bus prioritization network that I talked about earlier, which they expect to be about $150 million or so out of that $600 million. So those are the three areas that they really discussed in the last meeting. A lot has changed from back in the fall, when the financial picture was not as rosy as it was in the spring. And this is what we're dealing with going into the fall, with I think the task force wrapping up somewhere between September and November. As I said, the subcommittee groups are going to be available for us to participate in, I think. They were working on bus prioritization. Another one was on signage. Another one was on acquisition. I can't remember what the other three were, but several of the projects that they are looking for information. Oh, the one was on wayfinding. Those are things that we've already done as a committee. We already have expertise. So I'm hoping that I can get a few of you guys that would want to get involved with this on a regional level, involved in these subcommittees, because I think they could really use our help and expertise. They have a pretty good idea of what this committee has done. They've referenced it in some of the overall meetings, and so we have a good reputation going forward. But it would be nice to have a little bit of help on the on these committees going forward. Questions for me, Tino? You probably have questions on funding, or do you have any updates that I hadn't indicated? Anything else that you've read? I think my data was from June time frame.
Yeah, Patrick, no, I don't. I've
Mm-hmm.
seen some coverage. There's almost no reports on the DMV Moves website beyond May or June. The reports
Right.
are from small media in the neighborhood jurisdictions like in Virginia. But in general, let me say what observations I've read about in the media with respect to the $20 billion to improve our rail system. People, scoff at that, and right or wrong, they are not sure that that's going to solve the.
Are you talking about the signals, Tino?
Yeah. They
Track signals.
well, in general, they don't
Oh,
talk
okay.
about traffic signals as such. They just talk about the overall look at the automated prioritization of rail, and they scoff at it because they're not sure that that's going to make trains come any sooner or with any reliability.
Well, they will certainly have the data to say that it will in the next 6 months to a year. And I'm sure that Jordan and others that are looking at the data will, they're putting a lot of stock in that. And it's
Yeah.
what, and and Steve, also, this is where the rest of the world is going on
Yeah.
all of this stuff. You see this
Oh, yeah.
all over the place. Yeah.
I'm not saying that
Yeah.
we didn't automate, but I thought that the report way back by the General Accounting Office that we have no dedicated funding, that would have been a spur to try and figure out how to establish dedicated funding, be it big money or little money.
And I think, and I'm speculating here, Tino, but I think one of the things that Jamie was saying earlier is that this is something that Randy Clark is going to be looking at as far as making sure the funding is concerned. A lot of questions came up with respect to the 2018 funding of the system back in 2018, but they didn't have anything indexed for inflation back then. And even though they had a pot of money to be used for the rainy day fund. The other thing that I think is spurring them onto this, and I don't understand this all that much, but it looks like our ability to borrow money against for future improvements is done by 2028, FY 2028, which means that in 26, and they have to have everything ready by 2027. As far as that funding is concerned, anybody, Maggie, anybody else who knows more about this than I do, please correct me. But I think that's a a really difficult place to be in. A couple of pieces of good news that I had in my notes that I didn't say is it looks like. Well, thank you, Maggie. It looks like the PREA funding is good, and that looks like that's going to be stable, so that will be money coming in. And also the IAJA INJA, or whatever it's however it's pronounced, whatever infrastructure money looks like it's coming through. But then of course I just flip through my email and I'm seeing that some of that is not being awarded as quickly as we might think. So I think that that's something to look at. But the federal funding, at least according to Randy, looks like it's going to be pretty stable right now. And yeah.
Well, I wonder about stable funding from the federal government.
Right, right, exactly right. Yeah, and that's the flip side of that coin. When I read my email and they said they're already seeing problems with all of that, but one can only hope. And I think we've got, from what I've seen, Tino, and if you've listened to any of the, anybody, if you listen to any of the DMV Moves conferences, you'll see that you have some top people there giving good information, who are pretty dedicated and know the subject matter pretty well. So,
yeah, I hope so. And I don't doubt that there are sincere, knowledgeable people there. But let's not lose sight of what dedicated funding is, how to arrive at a way of doing that, not piecemeal by one jurisdiction offering this month, now right, another amount later. And then, if we come up with another fiscal cliff the way we did a couple of years ago, that was the whole push for dedicated funding.
Right.
To that, not to talk about improving automation.
I think what you're seeing on the bus and the rail, Tino, is that because they can make trains more efficient, that they don't have to spend as much money on the trains going forward. If you can increase efficiency by 30 or 40 or say 30-40%, that money gets plowed back into the system. So it'll be interesting to see if what I'm saying and what they've said basically comes to fruition here. And I think it would be good to give it some time. And I think the second fiscal cliff that we're seeing is going to be in FY28. The ability to not borrow against the money that you've been borrowing against is not good, and they'll have to slow down and slow service way down if we'd have another doomsday budget, basically, I think. But I'd rather not go there, because I think that everyone sees that this needs to go forward as a region. And it'll be interesting, particularly on the bus side, to see whether how we cooperate and push the bus system forward, making sure the visionary Better Bus Network is put in, bus rapid transit, and I'm not sure what else they're going to do on the bus side. But there's a lot they can do on the acquisition side with buses, make sure that they're not duplicating garages, all of that other stuff that
is behind the scenes. Hopefully all these improvements on rail or bus comes up with funds. If they can put that funding together and are able to define it as dedicated funding,
mm-hmm,
in the way that people have talked about it for decades, the General Accounting Office, et cetera, then that'll be good.
Yeah.
But time is going by. This report was supposed to have been done by June.
I know, I've been going to the meetings, Dino.
To me, it's worrisome, because I wonder if they're really going to focus, or how they're going to focus on dedicated funding. Maybe their attempts at dedicated funding will prove for naught by 2028. But at least let's say that we have dedicated funding and show how we describe it and how it works. But I don't think the concept of dedicated funding is at the top of the minds of the people.
I really think it is, Tino, a lot higher than, those are the three items, and dedicated funding was it on the May, but I'll keep you guys informed on what I hear. They don't really have any other choices. Yeah. Anybody else? Anu, did I just blow up my agenda?
No, just fine on the time. Chair Sheehan, I do not see any other hands up at this point.
Okay, cool. Well, Tino, thank you for helping me co-report on DMV Moves. Good questions. Yeah, I'm interested in all of that stuff too. I certainly don't want to go back to where we were 2 years ago. All right, let's see. If there are no more questions, thank you for being kind to me, everybody. I won't be sorry to see DMV's moves go. What was next? What else did I have on that? Oh, elections. Let's see. Oh, we have yeah, a couple other items that I need to speak about. We have the Richard Hettinger Award coming up to be the award will be in December. The packets are going to be going out shortly from ANU, as we've done in the past, with the award criteria. The awards need to be in by November 8th. Did I get that right, ANU?
Yes, that would
Award
that
packages, good.
me.
Okay. And so they should be going out within the next couple of weeks, I think, Anu.
Yes, and the date for November AAC meeting is November 3rd.
Oh, I'm sorry. Where did I get November 8th? I'm sorry. Okay, that's great. Thank you, Anu. Good. The last note from me are going to be elections. I think most everybody saw that Kelly Simonone chose to retire from the committee. She's just trying to balance life and all of life's commitments and everything, and just didn't have the time needed to spend and be able to do this, full-time working and raising a family and all that. So her position is up as second vice president. I need to talk with Denise to at first VP, but Denise has had medical issues for a while here. And I would and position of chair is up, and I will say that I would like to run one more time. I did check with Anu, and I guess I'm eligible to run one more time. And then you guys get to kick me out because I have to be term limited by 2027. So, however, we will have elections in October. What date is that? Anu, in October? October 3rd?
We'll see October meeting will be on the 6th, and that's a Monday.
Okay, and I hope we're not in the middle of any holidays.
Not until October
When
18th, and that as a result, we will hold the bus and rail subcommittee meeting on October 14th. So we do not have any
we
holiday.
are okay, we're good. Okay, we've got been caught on that for a while. So those are the positions: chair, first VP, second VP, are open for elections. And Kelly is not going to be running against. Not be run, so hers is open. So anyone who would like to run, we'll conduct the meetings as we've done in the past, with raised hands, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, raised hands on, which seems to work. And I will write something up about why I want to run, and I'll send that out to everybody. Let's see, I think that was all my little announcements, right, Anu?
Yes, sir.
And what was next here?
Next would be the reports, the bus and rail subcommittee.
Oh, with that?
We're
Okay.
well on time, actually.
Okay, we're doing all right then. Good.
I apologize, Chair Sheehan, that the next would be public comments before we go to.
Oh,
Yes.
public comment? Okay, good. Okay, we'll take that. Thank you, Anu. I had to flip over to my agenda and it's sort of buried here in my PC. So public comments. Do we have any public comments for
I can just
Jenna?
remind members of the public if you would like to make any public comments. Please either raise your hands if feasible or come off of mute. If you are able to raise hands, that will be very helpful because then we can take speakers in the order received and we can have one speaker at a time. Each member of the public will have 2 minutes. If we have the time and any members of the AAC would like to make any public comments, we can take those after we conclude any members of the public. And I see Janice has raised her hand. So Janice, I will start the timer. When you start speaking, and as I said, you will have 2 minutes. So
Thank
go
you.
ahead.
Thank you, Lynn. Two quick questions. One has to do with metro access. When a metro access rider, when the driver comes to pick up the rider and the driver asks for the rider's metro access ID, is it permissible for the rider to show an image of their ID on their smartphone? And if not, is that something we can move towards since many like airlines and trains, they accept ticketing on smartphones? Is that something that we can discuss? And the second question is, what is the date of the next WMATA public board meeting and where is it? Thank you.
So this is possible for what Mr. Blake answers that question, so I'm sure he's on or one of the Metro Access management members. The ID that we get is the official one that we should be using, and in terms of something electronic, I don't know of any other paratransits because I've used them around the country. They may use, your government ID if you're like a temporary user or whatever. But in terms of that identification, and just because of issues possibly with, fraud and things like that, they prefer that you use the ID that's provided, the official ID that's provided by WMATA. But I will defer the rest of your question to Mr. Blake if he's here on screen to respond to.
We'll respond. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, I'm using a new computer. Christian Blake, African American, Vice President of Department of Access Services. To answer a question directly, no, we're not accepting images of the ID. We are, as Mr. Semaphore pointed out, allowing broad flexibility. If you have for some reason, don't have your Metro Access ID, but you have a another government issued ID card. We are using that. At this point, we don't have a means of distributing, using the analogy with the airlines. The boarding pass you get with the airline is distributed and issued by the airline. It's not, I can take a
Right.
picture of my paper boarding pass and use that. So, are we at the point right now of distributing a digital ID? Not just yet, but it's certainly something we can look into. But just an image of the ID is not acceptable at the moment. And as far as the next board meeting, now Patrick can keep me honest on this, or even Anu. I know they stay on this, but I believe it's September 18th, that's a Thursday. It's usually on Thursday mornings. So that would be September 18th, if I'm not mistaken, at 10 a.m. But I could check while we're having this meeting. But if Anu or Patrick know already, they may be able to answer more accurately.
This is Anu, Mr. Blake. We can confirm that. At this point, we don't have a confirmation of the date and the timings, but we can surely confirm.
Okay, I'm sorry. Thank you. There you go. So let's hold off on the 18th for the moment before you book those trips.
Okay, so board meeting TBD, possibly the 18th, and imaging for Metro Access cards, possibly we could take that up for consideration in the future.
Correct. We'll talk about it. Let's see how that would be feasible for us to be able to do and keep track of things. And I'm not opposed to it. It's just we just haven't even thought about it, to be honest with you. So we'll look
Right,
into
right. Thank you.
it. Thanks, Janice.
Chair Shuhan, this is Anu. I do not see any additional hands up at this point. Rico.
Okay.
Okay, I see Rico has his hand up. Rico, go ahead.
Okay. So we I think we need to bring transit back again about one officer. I met with an officer at Chinatown, and she said one officer has an incident with a one of a deaf person. I asked her how did she like the VRI, and she said she liked it, but one officer couldn't able to log into the VRI because she said she did have a deaf person and they had to write back and forth. So can someone find out what is the problem with the VRI and why do some officers can use it, some cannot log into the system on their work phone? I heard that from three transit officers in the last week. Three transit officers at Chinatown had told me that, and I told them, okay. And they said they're having a problem when they meet a deaf consumer, they cannot, they can pull up the app, but the login with the password, phone number cannot. And that's the problem. Thank you.
Thank you, Rico. We can surely follow up on that. Next is Sandy. Sandy, go ahead.
Yes, so the elections for the AAC chair, first vice chair, second vice chair, will there similarly be elections for the bus rail subcommittee and metro access subcommittee? Because those terms are each 2 years also, if I read the bylaws correctly.
Oh, that's funny. Well, we read the bylaws too. And under, we were just talking about that tonight because it said four year terms on page 7, I think it is.
And then so, later it says 2 year terms
for officers.
But I think with officers, under the bylaws, y'all elect a chair,
the chair appoints
that maybe appoints the officers, but
officers the subcommittee chairs.
It's subcommittee chairs, and those people are term limited.
Right, but they're term limited 3-4 year terms. So when it says officers, I think it's, where was that, page 7, Anu, in the bylaws, that officers were for chair, first VP, second VP. The subcommittee chairs, on at least my reading of it, they weren't considered officers. Otherwise, if you read it that way, then both Tino and Paul wouldn't be able to serve in their roles. But I was reading it, because this is the way it's always been, as 3-4 year terms.
Okay, then maybe I misunderstood. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So if you go back, you know, it's funny, Sandy. I just looked at it again this afternoon, and I did see under, I think it was page 5. I knew what. Am I correct? Where it said subcommittee.
Yes, that's page 5, and then the next is page 7.
And it says subcommittee chairs, I believe, is the subtitle. It's right underneath AFA and other things, and it's a 3-4 year, 4 years. So there was, I agree with you, Sandy, there was a little bit of confusion on that, but they're not considered officers with respect to how the ACC runs.
Okay. That, thanks.
Yeah. Okay, sure. And I don't think we want to rewrite the bylaws, do we, Paul?
No.
A resounding no from Sandy.
Oh, okay, good. Okay,
no. And remember, the appointing comes with the chair, you know, each year for subcommittee.
I'll second that, too.
Yes.
Thank you, Steve. Okay, good. Anybody else?
Chair Sheehan, this is Anu. No additional hands.
No additional hands. Okay. So we might get out early tonight, everybody. That would be nice.
We have the reports.
We do have the reports.
We do have.
So, Paul, you're up. Wait a minute. No, let me go. Tina. We always end with Paul. Tina, you're up next.
Oh, yeah. Well, our agenda, which was covered in July, included the discussion of the summer shutdown and what's planned to deal with the summer shutdown. We also talked about the Better Bus Network and also the temporary bus stop signage. On that point, apart from what was discussed in July, I wonder when the bus stops will have the schedules of the bus that comes to that particular stop. There hasn't been such a schedule that I've seen at any of the bus stops I've been to. That's apart from the subcommittee discussion in July. But does anybody know when the stop signs will have the schedules of the bus that comes to that bus stop?
Do we have Better Bus coming? When is it? October, November? Anu?
At this point, we can work on that agenda and get an update, definitely.
Yeah, we should be able to do that. Okay.
Pat, I think that it would be very useful for us to have Better Bus come to talk to us because I'm certain that there have been discussions based upon the initial routes that were put out at the end of June regarding how some are working and how some aren't. And
Yeah.
it would be good to get an update from them on how they're proceeding to evaluate these issues and move ahead.
I know they've been asked for on the schedule, Steve. So they're one of the top people we want to see. I also think we wanted to get an update on Prince George's County too. So
That's scheduled
yeah.
that's already scheduled coming up.
Good. Thank you, Tina. Yeah. Okay. And I know, Steve, the Better Bus is going to be putting through, I think, some changes and updates in December. So, yeah, it would be good to see what the lessons learned in the fall.
Yeah, just quickly, Pat, this isn't the time to talk, but I've been pleasantly surprised by how creatively appropriate some of these new routes, which are longer based upon the surveys, which said people would prefer staying on the same bus rather than transferring buses, how well they've actually performed. I've taken a good number of them, and I'm very impressed. There are a few that weave a little too much, and so it'll be interesting to see what they have to say.
That's great, Steve. Yeah,
So
good. That's good to hear,
thank you.
Steve. Thank you. Yeah, good. Let's see, Tino. Did we hit the high points for your report?
Yes.
Good. Okay. Excellent. Good. Yeah, I missed the I think I missed the meeting in July. I was off gallivanting. Any questions for Tino? Thank you, Tino. Paul,
Okay.
you're up.
All right, Metro Access Subcommittee. We had a robust meeting in July. Mr. Blake came back to us with some updates. One of the major ones that we discussed, well, two major things. One is how, that they're going to be using Timbo in the background to help the agents, and kind of begin slowly transitioning scheduling Ubers under certain conditions and circumstances when rides are projected to be late eventually out to customers. And when customers, call in and saying that a ride is late, and you had that back and forth where the agents had the authority is if it's projected to be late or is late, how that's being transitioned out of their hands to Tim to see objectively, oh, it's 30 minutes. It's late, and so they'll be communicating to Tim on how to more efficiently schedule that to Uber, so we minimize, mistakes and things like that. Like other customers and myself may have come back and say, "Oh yeah, they moved the trip to Uber, but I'm not getting the link, or I'm not getting the trip started, and it was some kind of issue or human error, and now this kind of takes this out of human hands to do, so it gets, objectively done under certain conditions and circumstances." That's one piece. The other Mr. Blake talked about was, in order to help ease the call volume that's coming in over time, beginning to, if as many customers possible, to use other tools to, get information. Like, for instance, myself and some other customers who may be tech savvy, who, I only call in when I need to, because I have, my transit app, which tells me most 95% of the things I need to know, where the driver is, who the provider is, ETA, things like that, where I don't have to call in. And those people who are tech savvy kind of gravitate and educate them to kind of use those tools for self-service more, and leave the call lines open for those who have to talk to a human being. So kind of leveraging some of those other things, not taking people certainly have the right to call into the call center, for certain pieces of information about their Metro Access ride, but and reservations. But we definitely want people to, as much as possible, take advantage of those tools so that agents are readily available, especially during those peak periods, to be able to get the assistance they need as swiftly as possible. The other thing is, we had the Uber representative back again, as we had customers kind of document and record and hopefully begin to resolve the issues with Uber as representative explained, uses Google Maps to locate locations, but sometimes that location for that address is not exactly where it should be for customers, especially when you have disabilities and you need to have that Uber pick you up right in front of that location, and it wants to pick you up behind or maybe a quarter mile away from that address than what's on the map. And obviously that's an issue and it's still ongoing. And we've been working with Mr. Blake and the Uber representative to resolve as those individual cases. We still have a work plan to discuss for the next meeting. And did I cover most of it, Mr. Blake? I guess he's not there.
I guess he's hiding behind his new computer.
Okay. So I think that's about it, unless I
You
missed
did. Sorry about that. You did.
something.
But can I add one last thing?
Sure.
The biggest news,
Oh, the biggest news, okay, was the on-time performance. He sent me
no, not
statistics.
that. Yeah,
Not that,
what was that?
but also there's the addition of what I've noticed over the summer is a nice improvement. Is there been additions of other abilities ride type of providers, and how that has helped ease with service delivery and getting people picked up in their pickup window, or having another option with abilities ride. But
Who
go
are
ahead,
they,
Mr. Blake.
Paul, who are
Yeah.
they? The new service providers?
Well, it was like I had a provider text me, "We drive you," and I text Mr. Blake. I said, "This is new." And they did their job professionally very well. They came at the stated time in the text. So I do applaud them for trying to find more innovative ways for those who are able to opt into abilities ride and to have those options available for people who need them. So that frees up the van for those who have to have it and can be picked up within their 30-minute window.
Great, thanks.
Yeah.
And Mr. Blake, I'll probably talk to you about USERV at some point over the next couple of
Yes, sir.
days. Yeah,
Yes.
go ahead.
And with the We Drive You was the company it's called, and this is another company I think you'll be interested in also, Pat, in terms of their leadership. And we'll get all these folks here. We're really just trying to onboard.
They're working under the We Drive You non-dedicated contract, but they're called Silver Ride. If anybody wants to look on the internet and read about Silver Ride, they're another user type of Uber company that provides Uber type services for people with disabilities and other populations that are less trusting, if you will, of Uber. But no, I really just wanted to add, and I was going to share more about them at the next meeting. I really just wanted to add that we got through August and there was no August surprise from Metro Access this year.
No, there was not.
I just wanted to let you all know that
Oh,
there's
I was
no
about
August.
ready to
And I
ask.
was going to say on-time performance has gotten up to 91%. He
Did
shared
it
data
really? Good one.
about that for July. Now, of course, that was July and August. As we know, people are taking vacations. There's no school buses on the road. So we hope that I'm cautiously optimistic that this trend will keep upward in spite of all the traffic is returning. And people are, it's after the four, Labor Day weekend, and school traffic is settled, and we shall see.
No
We'll
pressure,
see.
Mr. Blake.
We'll see. Yes,
No
indeed.
pressure.
No pressure.
All right.
Hey, this is Anna. Can I
Go
see
ahead, Anu. Yes.
your hand up?
Oh, I'm sorry. We had a hand up.
Yeah. Did you have a question, Vanessa, as it relates to my report?
Yes, sir. I wanted to know what is the recourse when we have issues with the Uber driver.
Vanessa, I'm not hearing you all that well.
She asked, what is the recourse if we have
What is
issues with the Uber driver?
because this week, this past, well, 2 weeks ago, I took Uber to an event, and the GPS told the guy that he had arrived, and I was on a property that was gated, so I didn't feel too scary. But he stopped in the middle of nowhere. There was a house there. He gets out, he looks, and the address didn't match, but he's looking on his GPS and is saying, "You have arrived." So he's trying to show me what it says. And I said, "Sir, I can't see." He says, "It says you arrived." I was looking for a clubhouse. It was not a clubhouse. I didn't hear no noise. And he proceeded to get back in his car. I said, "Sir, you can't leave me out here by myself." And he just kept trying to convince me that the thing said he had arrived. The security at the front told him we're going to a clubhouse, but he let me out in front of a house. So I ended up calling police, actually, because I was out there in the middle of nowhere. I was with someone. Someone was with me. And then I called Metro Access, but what happens to a driver that would do something like that? I just want to know what the recourse is for reporting the drivers.
Because what it sounds like in her situation that has happened to me, but of course I'm sighted and I can advocate, but in this case, this is a safety issue. The driver sees that dot, even though that's not the correct building or address, and it's off. And the driver's insistent of saying that I'm following what's on this, even though physically they probably can
Yeah.
see it's wrong. They're not budging. What do we do in that
And that
situation?
happens to my coworkers in the morning at work too. They have dropped them off a whole block away and somebody has had to go and get them. If that thing says they've arrived, they stop, they tell you they're here, and you being blind, you don't know till you get out and start, trying to figure out where you are. T-Mobile is about, I say, a half a block from my actual work, and a lot of times they tell some of them that they are have arrived, and somebody has to go get them.
Mr. Blake, thoughts on that?
Yeah, so yes, Ms. Coles can certainly report that. We'll report it to Uber. The driver gets an opportunity of quote unquote due process. Was this a blatant, disrespect of the customer? Were they following the app and the map to a T and didn't do a little extra TLC with the customer, which I would encourage, obviously. But we have to see, because again, that question
Yeah, and
also
I
then goes to what would happen again, Paul used his own example, but using your own personal Uber app, what happens if you're using Uber under your own personal account and the driver drops you off and says this is as far as he or she is going to go? If that's what their map is saying, we then have to fix the map. If the driver's
But
behavior
it
was
didn't even
poor,
match, the address didn't match. He didn't even try to match.
and see, here's the issue. See,
You're
I'm
here.
sighted and I'm able to see in the map where the drop off is at. So and when those issues arise, I usually self-advocate and say, it has it wrong. It's only by a couple of blocks away or two. Can you please drop me off at my correct address? You'll see it when I show you, versus you have a case here where she doesn't have that, able to do that, and it puts her in a situation she shouldn't be in.
Yeah, one of the
And
neighbors had to get
what
in
we
their
do
car and
is
take me.
we talk to Uber, we talk to the driver, advocate for the customers. Best thing is that Metro Access is there for you. Give us a
Well,
call,
that
and
in
we're
that
going to
case,
support
she
you.
said she couldn't find me because I couldn't tell her where I was. So we had that argument with the Metro Access too, and I said, well, I'm on the path to the clubhouse, so if you can just send the driver and he'll eventually see me. She wouldn't do it because she said, I got to tell them where you are. And I said, just give them the address where I was going to. So we went back and forth with that. Eventually, a neighbor stopped and took us to the clubhouse, so I couldn't even get any help through Metro Access either.
Well, we'll have to review this. I mean, you said it was 2 weeks ago. I wish you would have called me sooner. But I mean, we'll definitely look
I
into
thought I texted you. Yeah. Oh, okay. All
it.
right. And the other thing, I just want to make a comment. I was in Columbus, Ohio this past weekend, family reunion, and Metro WMATA's system, Metro Access, is more robust than any. I mean, you really realize how good you have it when you're out in another system. They have something called CODA, Central Ohio Transit Authorities, and they are all over the place. You can't get a direct call. You got to leave a message and hope that they'll call you back. I'm just glad to be back home. So I just wanted to make that comment. Kudos to WMATA and Metro Access.
There you go. I guess on that note. All
Okay.
right. Any other questions for my report? If not, I pass it over back to Pat.
Very good. I only have one other question to ask everybody. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
There you go. All right.
Second.
Very good.
Second.
Anu, do you need to say your.
Sure.
Okay.
I just want to state that any members of the public, if you would like to make any comments, you can send us an email at metroaacchair@vamada.com. That's spelled out MetroAacchair@WMATA.com, or call and leave a message at 202-962-1100, and we will follow up. Thank you. That concludes my announcement.
Very good. Thank you, Anu. All those in favor of adjourning, say aye.
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 Anybody opposed? Thank you, everybody. We'll see you next month.
Hey.
Thank you, Pat.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks,
Thank
Cindy.
you.